Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, next Wednesday night, Lord willing, is the last night of this class, Book of Galatians. This is part 12. Galatians chapter 4, and we'll begin, Lord willing, in verse 19. Galatians 4, 19. And Pastor Jeremy, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Steps that we should take. Lord, we're just asking that you would give us the comfort. Lord, you promised the comforter. And Lord, as we just look all around us, there certainly is a lot of darkness, but at the same token, we thank you that you are greater and you abide in us. Amen. Than anything else in this world.
Amen.
And Lord, I just ask you'd help us now to learn to rest in you. And Lord, as we look at your word tonight, that you would bring those answers to our minds and our hearts that we're looking for. Lord, that we just follow your will, that you would be exalted, and we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand what? In doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman was by what? Promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is what?
Free.
Which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of what?
Promise.
But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of who? The bondwoman. But of what? The free. Some in Galatia were teaching and believing that you had to receive Christ plus keep the law to be saved. That was the whole issue. And Paul does not mince any words with them in verse 20. He said, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice. For I stand what? In doubt. Of you. Why did Paul stand in doubt of these people that they were not truly saved? Because they had this belief that you had need to receive Christ plus keep the law to actually be saved. And that is not what grace is. That is not what freedom is. If you hold your place here, notice with me in Romans 11. Romans chapter 11. When I was a boy, I had started a little fire in the garage and a little pan of oil. And then I decided I was going to put it out with water. Well, if you've ever done that, that doesn't work. If you have an oil fire and you pour water on it, all you do is spread the fire because the oil floats on the water, and so all you're doing is just spreading the fire. That doesn't work. And you cannot mix law and grace. It does not mix. Romans 11:6. And if by grace, then it is no more what?
Of works.
Of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more what?
Grace.
Otherwise, work is no more work. You can't mix grace and works. He doesn't do it. It's either grace or it's either works. Romans 11:6, they do not mix. And that's exactly what the Galatians were trying to do. And that is the same thing that people are trying to do, although they may not realize it. Those people who believe you can lose your salvation are trying to do the same thing. And it's so hard to get them to see what they are doing. If a person believes to get saved, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But to keep saved, you have to not do certain sins, like they would say, like murdering someone or committing adultery or whatever else they might consider a big sin. Those things, they say, well, that causes you to lose your salvation. Okay, well, in their mind, if they could just see what they're doing, what they're saying is you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then you need to keep the law. That is, not murder, not commit adultery, and so on. They are doing the exact same thing as the Galatian people were doing. And notice with me in Matthew 7, this pictures exactly what those people are going to face, who think that you have to receive Christ as Savior and then keep the law, then not do certain sins, or you'll lose that salvation. They're trying to mix the unmixable. They're trying to mix grace with the law, and that never works. You cannot do it. In Matthew 7, verse 22, what's the first word? Many. This is not a small problem. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them what? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What is these people's problem? They stand before God saying, you've got to let me into heaven. I've done this for you. I've prophesied. I've cast out devils. I've done many wonderful works. You've got to let me into heaven. Don't you remember all that I've done for you? Well, that's not how we get to heaven. It's not by our good works. It's by his work on the cross. And so he's going to say in verse 23, I never knew you. He's not going to say, well, you are once saved, but you murdered somebody. Or you are once saved, but you committed adultery. You were once saved, but you did this or that. No, he says, I never knew you. You did all these things in my name, but I never knew you. You were trying to mix the law and grace. And you know what's really sad is that these people, in verse 22, they're always talking about the Lord. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And it's so hard for us to fathom that someone could talk about the Lord their whole lives long and not really know him. But that is exactly what we see. And what's interesting is in verse 22, these are the three exact things that the charismatic movement emphasizes. And we'll try to, they'll ask you, you know, do you have the Spirit? Oh, well, then they're going to be looking for proof. Have you prophesied? Have you spoken in tongues? You know, have you cast out demons out of people? Have you done miracles? That's what they're looking for, to confirm in their mind that you are one of God's. And yet, God says, verse 23, to all these many, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, going to heaven has nothing to do with what we have done for God. Going to heaven has everything to do with what Jesus did for us on the cross. Going to heaven depends fully and completely and only upon Jesus. And any other things that you try to mix in there are not going to mix. And one day when you stand before God, you're going to find that they did not mix. Our faith has to be fully and completely and only in Christ and have no faith whatever in our measly works. So there are thousands of people living in the bondage just like the Galatian people. They're trying to live under Hagar instead of Sarah. They're trying to live under Ishmael instead of Isaac. And it's not going to work. Notice they're back in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. And verse 23, Galatians 4, 23. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. By promise. Verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of what? Promise. Verse 31. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of what? The free. So, are you experiencing the freedom in Christ? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that your salvation is secure because it doesn't rest upon you or me or any person on earth, but the perfect Son of God? Notice with me in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. You know, what's sad is so many people today say, well, these people are just confused. You know, when the rapture happens, they're going to go up and, you know, they'll be all straight in their doctrine then. Please explain to me then Matthew 7, 22 and 23. That's not the way it works. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of who? Of God in who? In him, in Christ. And that's the only way we're going to get to heaven. So these people that believe that salvation can be lost have twisted the meaning of something in Galatians 5. And I apologize to the Bible Institute students. We had a test, and I wrote a confusing question about this, and I should have gone over it more, but we'll go over it now. Now's a little late, but in Galatians 5:1. For we know that if our... Whoops, I'm in 2 Corinthians. I got to get back in Galatians. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a what? A debtor. A debtor to do what? The whole law. Here we go. Here was the question, verse 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are what? Fallen from grace. Now, these people that believe they can lose their salvation say, if you commit a certain sin, you can fall from grace. What they are saying this phrase means is, you can lose your salvation. So they say, if you go murder somebody, you're going to fall from grace. You're going to lose your salvation. You go commit adultery, you're going to fall from grace. You're going to lose your salvation. They are not defining this phrase as the Bible defines it. So the biblical meaning of falling from grace is not describing someone who is in the process of losing their salvation. The biblical use of the phrase fallen from grace describes those people who believe that you can lose your salvation. So I'll go over that again. So falling from grace in the Bible is a phrase that does not mean losing your salvation. What it means is you are a person who believes that salvation can be lost. You have fallen from grace. Why? Because you are trying to mix the law in with it. You have the wrong doctrine. You have fallen from grace because you're trying to hold on to the law. So it's hard for us to get this in our minds, but because today if you say, well, do you believe you can fall from grace? It's someone talking about, do you believe you can lose your salvation? But that's not what the term means. The term is describing those who have false doctrine, who believe that salvation can be lost. They have fallen from grace. They did not get saved and lose their salvation. They have fallen from grace because that's the false doctrine that they believe. And there's no way to get saved believing that doctrine. There's no way. Verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. No, he wasn't saying you've lost your salvation. He's saying you are not saved. You can't be saved believing that you can fall from grace. So it's one more lie of the devil. Notice in verse 7, he tells them, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey what? The truth. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Well, then where is that persuasion coming from? The devil. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Okay, so where does keeping the law come into play for us as Christians? If it has nothing to do with our salvation, where does it come into play? In other words, can a Christian live like the devil and just say, I'm of the free woman. I don't have to obey the law. Can a Christian really say that? No. Look in verse 13, Galatians 5 and verse 13. The Bible says, for brethren, ye have been called unto what? Liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. A Christian does not live like the devil. A person who lives like the devil, that's the characteristic of their life, living like the devil, that person is not saved. The person was not saved and then lost the salvation. That person was never saved. Look in verse 19, Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. The word manifest means made known, shown. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall what? not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, the funny thing is that list is a lot longer than the people's list that believe you can lose your salvation. They like to talk about murder and adultery, but you know what? There's a lot of other things mentioned there, isn't there? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. In other words, that's not the complete list. And it says, of all of those sins, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. When a person truly gets saved, those things pass away. And this list is backed up by 1 Corinthians 6. Let's go there. We'll come back here. But 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. People whose lives are characterized by those sins, it's not that they were saved and then lost. It's that they were never saved. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Now look at this list. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You notice some of these are the same, but then the other passage said, and such like. Well, there's some of these are new to the list, but it told you before that wasn't a complete list. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall what? Inherit the kingdom of God. So many in this shared in those two lists, but some new ones here. So these people are people who have never been saved, but notice in verse 11, and such what? Were some of you, past tense, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So it's past tense. These were sins that were past in their lives. But when a person truly gets saved, those things pass away. Notice back in Galatians 5, verse 22. What should be evident in us as Christians? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit. So this is contrasted with verse 19, the works of the flesh. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is what? No law. No law against these things. So these are the things that should characterize us as Christians. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, all those works of the flesh, those things need to have a funeral for all those things. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So does this mean that Christians are perfect? Does this mean that Christians always show forth the fruit of the Spirit, not the works of the flesh? No, it does not mean that Christians are perfect. We should strive. Notice in 1 John chapter 2, that is the standard, and we shouldn't make excuses for not meeting the standard. 1 John 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye what?
Sin not.
That is the standard. Sin not. Then it goes on. And if any man sin, we have what? An advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the what? The righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the complete satisfaction for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So, not sinning is the standard. But when we sin, we have an advocate. It's Jesus Christ the righteous. And then notice with me, what about a Christian that sins? And well, let's go to Hebrews 12. What happens? What happens when a true born-again Christian sins? The Bible teaches we do not lose our salvation. That is fully resting upon Christ. But this is what happens. Hebrews 12:6. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? Chasteneth. And scourgeth. So chastening, scourging. Scourging is being whipped. And scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with what? Sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement. In other words, if we can sin and there's no chastisement, it says, but if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not what? Not sons. So if we can sin and there's no chastisement that comes into our lives, that's the key that I'm not a son. If I can just sin, if I can just go off and sin and God doesn't chasten me, then I'm not really a son. Very clear. Verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall what? See the Lord. So that's what happens when a Christian sins. We get chastened. We don't lose our salvation. You know, when our children sin, we don't say, get out of this house, I never want to see you again, and I'm writing you out of the will, I'm somehow changing your name, you're not going to be able to have my name anymore. No, our parents chasten us. They don't turn their back on us. Well, same with God. He chastens us, but he doesn't forsake us. So let's go back to Galatians then, chapter 5 then. So, verse 24, Galatians 5:24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Remember what we saw Sunday with Jonah? When Jonah disobeyed the Lord, he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. That is such an important thought. You know, any time something would try to tempt us to do wrong, we should say, I'm not going there. I don't want to flee from God's presence. I don't want to flee from his blessing. I need his help. I need his presence. I need his blessing. Whatever sin that is, it's not worth it. Nothing is worth fleeing from God's presence. So is read on verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So next time, Lord willing, we'll look in chapter 6. So how do Christians treat each other? When there is a problem, what do we do? Well, Lord willing, next time, in the last class, we'll look at that, what God wants us to do to help one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us. Lord, we find so often in this life that people that claim to be religious take terms from the Bible and try to redefine them and thus teach false doctrine. And we have seen that tonight from the term falling from grace. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, please open the eyes of the thousands and thousands of people who are in churches that teach that salvation can be lost. Help them to realize that they already, by that doctrine, have fallen from grace. There's no way to be saved and believe that doctrine. Lord, please open their eyes that they're trying to mix two things that do not mix, law and grace. Lord, we thank you that we can be of the free woman, that we don't have to live our lives in bondage, fearful that we might lose our salvation. Thank you, we don't have to worry about that. It's all in Christ, completely, fully, and only in him. I pray, Father, if there should be any here tonight whose trust and faith is not completely and only and fully in Christ, if it is not, that they this night would place their faith in him and him alone. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.